Well, good evening again. I greet you in the lovely name of Jesus. It's the only name that I would want to greet you in. It's the highest name that we can give out to you tonight is Jesus. What a lovely name. What he has done for us. It's amazing. How many of you, the last night or two, looked at the moon when you left here and drove home? See some heads shaking. Yeah, I did too. It's beautiful. It's only what? Not quite halfway. The heavens declare the glory of God. So I couldn't help but to look at that moon the last couple of nights, and I thought, well, what a great God you and I have. I also thought about the fact that there are folks tonight that look at that moon and think that they should worship that moon. And they miss the creator of the moon and the sun and the stars. How can that be? How can that be? Well, tonight as we see the beauty of the world that we live in, our minds should go to the creator who has made this for us to enjoy and to get glimpses of who he is and how great he is, how beautiful he is. It's just amazing. Well, I guess last night we forgot to sing our theme song. So if you came looking forward to that and I missed it, so I'm sorry about that. Tonight we will sing a verse of that song, Perfectly Broken. And we'll sing the last verse, verse 3. Tonight, broken and blessed when he does the mending. It's been my prayer this week that I would come broken and also blessed. I trust that you can experience the same. Let's have the pitch for that song.
Me, broken and blessed when he does the mending and fit for service true. Contrite and willing and all to his glory.
Tonight for a message, you can turn to Psalms 1. The message I had planned for tonight is not this message. And as I awoke early this morning, and I thought I was going to turn over and go back to sleep again, but something started pressing into my mind. And the fight that I talked about the other night about my will and God's will became sort of forefront because I felt like that message I knew I had prepared for tonight, I just felt like I should put it away. And so I laid in my bed for a while thinking about that, and I finally was like, yeah, all right, Lord, I'll put that away. I don't know why, but I just felt strongly about that. So whatever the reason was, for that message remains at home. It was a message on self-pity. Tonight, I felt led to bring a message titled The Virtue of Spiritual Stability, the strength of spiritual stability. And that may sound like a pretty complicated title, but it's actually very basic and very simple. And the burden of the message tonight is just to encourage us and to inspire us to keep on going as a Christian, to keep going. Don't give up. Don't get weary. Just keep on going. And so I thought about my life, and I want you to think about your life and think back in the last year. So you start going back through September and August and July and June. You just let your mind go back and you think about your life. You think about your life and you think about your walk with God. How does that look in the last year as you think about that? Think about your life as a line that is projecting either up. Well, can it just continue to go straight? Is that possible? Probably not for real long. I guess there's either two ways we're going to go, either up or down. And so think about that projection of your life. If you were to continue on the projection that you have this past year, are you going to be inclining more, or are you going to be declining? Which direction am I headed in my spiritual walk with God? Being stable is a characteristic that we all like. We appreciate people who are stable. In our marriages, we appreciate stable marriage spouses. We appreciate stable co-workers. They're steady, consistent, they're on time. We appreciate steady church brothers and sisters. They're reliable. They have purpose, steady, continuing, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. Christian living is usually just very ordinary. Everyday, faithful Christian living is often very commonplace. You probably have an ordinary job. You probably have an ordinary family that you're a part of. Life is just pretty commonplace and ordinary. And sometimes you can get thinking, and I think sometimes, well, is this really what God wants me to do and to be? Isn't there something bigger or greater that I should be involved in? Life sometimes can seem, you get into the routines of life, it can seem monotonous and even boring. And we need something exciting, we think, to keep life interesting. Well, I thought about Moses. We're looking at him in our Sunday school lesson. And I thought about him. And he spent those 40 years in the wilderness caring for sheep as a shepherd. He woke up every day to do what? To tend sheep. I'm not even 40 years old yet. But 40 years is a good chunk of time to wake up every day and tend sheep. Especially when Moses, I believe, had an aspiration and a desire to free his people back in Egypt from slavery. He wanted to help them out. And I just can't help but think that Moses was there in that wilderness for 40 years, waking up, taking care of these sheep, and he's wondering, like, God, is this really where you want me? Out in the wilderness, not many people around, nobody paid attention to him. Well, tonight, God is looking for men and women who are faithful every day, just right where they are. Faithfulness in ordinary, lowly, commonplace life. Our Father tonight sees people like that, who faithfully toil right where they are, and they're okay with that. This tonight I'm suggesting is what builds the character and the virtues in us that God can use. Faithfulness and contentment where I am right now in my life. Well, perhaps you can think of somebody that you maybe look up to, or you can think about them as being a very stable person. They're just consistent. Just a steady person at home, at work, at church. He shows up at church. He comes to encourage. He doesn't want to cause trouble. He's here to bless other people. He gives. He's generous. He has a well-marked Bible that he spends time in. He walks with God with a clear conscience every day. And I'm suggesting to us tonight that there is a real beauty that flows out of a life of a person like that. There is really a glory that shines out of a person that lives their life like that. And somebody who is stable, who's consistent, somebody who is running well, they have their eyes on a goal. And they're going to endure to the end. They have purpose. They have reason to do what they do. He's pressing on. Or perhaps as you looked back over that last year, you thought, wow, that last year just doesn't look real good. And tonight I'm here to encourage you to keep going this year. To keep going. Change that projection so you can climb higher. How can you and I become more stable in our Christian lives? Well, there's many verses that speak about this. One verse is in James chapter 1, verse 8. James says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. One day you're on fire for God, the next day you're loving your sin, and you have this unstableness. And we hear the call of Elijah on Mount Carmel as he's there with the prophets of Baal. And he's saying, stop this halting between two opinions. Choose you this day who you're going to serve. If Baal is God, well then serve Baal. If God is God, then serve him. Stop this wishy-washy back and forth, day after day, week after week. Once and for all, choose. Who will you serve? If money is your God, then serve your money. If your business is your God, then serve your business. But if God is God, tonight choose then. Once and for all, commit yourself. I will serve you, God. Let's read this psalm, Psalm 1, and perhaps you can all read it with me, or say it by memory. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous.
For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Well, verse 3 describes a righteous man as a tree planted by the rivers of water. A tree that his roots are going down deep into that moist soil. A tree that's being nourished by the water that's constantly flowing past it, flowing by it. A tree that's thriving. A tree that has fruit growing on it. A tree that is stable. And in verse 4, we see the contrast of the ungodly. They're like the chaff. What a picture. What a picture God is giving to us of a contrast of the godly and the ungodly. Just dry little husks that the wind blows away. They go from this to that to the other. Always moving, always looking, always searching, never finding. What a contrast between the righteous, stable man and the chaos and the wandering of a lost man. What a contrast. Tonight, if you are a Christian, this is God's picture of you tonight. This is God's picture of you. He's giving you a picture of a tree planted by the rivers of water. The wind and the rain, it can drive against this tree, but its roots will go deeper. That tree will remain standing. He will become stronger as the winds and the rains beat upon him. As they bend him back and forth, it will send his roots deeper into the Word of God. Stronger and sure. What a foundation we have to build on. Tonight, there is no stability outside of Jesus. And so, tonight, ground your life in His Word. And you will be like this tree. This is a promise that God gives to us. Trees grow very, very slowly, usually. In fact, you can't see a tree grow. It's almost... you can't perceive it, but if you have pictures or you say, well, that tree's growing some. It got some bigger, but you didn't see it happening. It took a year or two, and you're like, yeah, that tree is starting to get a little bit higher. It's getting a little bit bigger. And that's the same for Christian living. Spiritual growth tonight will take time and effort and years. It will not come overnight. And perhaps you wonder if you're even growing. And that's okay. But if you can look back in your life and you can see that yes, there has been changes. I have been growing. Praise God. But there's small changes. Slowly, you continue to grow. You begin to become more like the Savior who has bought you. And so don't get discouraged tonight if you're not growing as fast as you think you would like to grow. I don't grow as fast as I want to grow. I thought by the time I'm almost 40, you thought 40-year-olds knew a lot, but it doesn't work that way. It comes slow by time, by experience, by discipline, by effort. You grow. You grow as a Christian. Well, just 5 points on what it means, or descriptions of stable Christians. The first point is stable Christians are fruitful. Verse 3, this is not just a tree. It's not just a tree with branches. It's not just a tree with leaves on it. But it's a tree that has fruit that's growing on it. There's life here. There's growth. There's fruitfulness. There is progress happening in this Christian. What does fruitfulness look like? for you as a Christian. What does that look like? Well, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, our minds go here, right? But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. Against such there is no law.
Do you have fruit? Do I have fruit like that in my life? Do I see a growing of that fruit? More joy. Do I know more joy in my life than I did last year? Do I know more peace? Do I know more temperance? These are questions I have to ask myself. You ask yourself, how is this fruit looking in your life? If the Holy Spirit is within me, it will be bringing these fruit out in my life. Are you growing them? Are they becoming bigger? Are they becoming deeper? We can also think of our fruitfulness in terms of our service. What we do for Jesus, what we do for our Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, Paul says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so you see Paul combining these two things, stability, steadfastness, and laboring together, fruitfulness. And sometimes tonight, our service to the Lord may not always seem fun and exciting. It may not seem something that we want to do, perhaps. And we can become easily discouraged. And sometimes I get to thinking, well, what's the use of doing this thing? Like, why do we keep messing around with this? Is this really worth it? And you start looking for greener pastures. Surely there has to be something different that I could be doing that would be more worthwhile, more beneficial. But oftentimes, the call that God brings to us is just be fruitful where you are, with the circumstances that surround you, the people that are around you. This is where you are right now. Be fruitful there. Be in service there. Do the best you know how to do right there, right now. Be faithful there now. Don't be looking somewhere else. You'll grow discontent. You'll grow weary with where you are. And you'll have disillusioned thinking. And you'll begin to search. And you'll become eventually lost in your way. Be faithful tonight where God has placed you. Faithfully serving the best that you can. Well, perhaps you're young here tonight and you think, well, what does God want me to do? What is God's purpose for me right now? Like, what is God's plan for me? Surely he has one. Well, he does. But the question that we often need to ask ourselves is, how stable am I right now? How am I doing right now as a Christian? Am I doing well as a Christian? How consistent is my walk with Jesus? If my walk with Jesus is up, and then it's down, and then it's up, and it's marked by consistent failure and unfaithfulness, that instability and that way of living will often keep you back from the very things that God would want to work out in your life. And sometimes we miss seeing that. But we need to be faithful right now where we are. And the things that we appreciate about other people, and we see that fruit in their life, and we wonder how they could get there. Well, they got there just by being faithful right now where they were. And so allow yourself, wherever you are, even if it's in an undesirable circumstance and you wish you wouldn't be there, well, just be faithful there. And do the best you can with what you have. Point number two is stable Christians avoid bad influences. And we see that here in verse 1. He walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners. And he does not sit in the seat of the scornful. That's another characteristic of a man that is stable. As someone who is purposeful in how he lives, how he walks, how he stands, and how he sits. His way of life. He's thinking about that. And so tonight, if you want to be a stable, fruitful Christian, we must be careful with who is influencing us. Who is having bearing upon your life. We're all affected by the people that are close to us. They affect us. The friends we have, the things that you and I listen to, they have an influence upon us. The music we listen to, the things we take in from media, the things that entertain us, the websites that we visit. We have so much connections tonight to things that can really influence us either in a good way or in a bad way. And tonight, you and I have to be very careful with where we are going to choose to sit and stand and walk. Because they will have a direct effect on where we end up. And so, tonight, these things can affect how stable we are. These things can cause us to doubt God's word. They can cause us to become discontent. We see other people, and we watch other people, and we think, wow, their life looks so good, their marriage looks so wonderful, everything looks so perfect, but we don't know them personally. A lot of these people are strangers to us. We don't even know them. Don't judge so quickly. We don't know. It's so easy we become discontent. These things can defile our conscience. There's so much wickedness and evil that can be right at our fingertips that can defile us. We must cut these things off, or we will become very unstable. It can cause us to go in just a worldly way of thinking. And it can change how we even think about spiritual things. These things just come in and impact us. And tonight, it's possible for us to lose our balance spiritually because we're hanging out, sitting with scoffers and with the scorners. And you can get there pretty quickly because I've gotten there. One thing leads to the next, I found very quickly in my life. And you can get to a place you never dreamed you'd ever get very rapidly. These things can do that to us. And I'm asking and I'm warning us to beware and to be careful about these things. They will take us down. And so tonight, spiritual amputation, it might just be necessary. There's some things in my life that I just have to purposely cut off. There's some things I just won't do. There's some places I just won't go. There's some things on my phone that are going to be locked. I don't know how to unlock them. I just can't. I'm not safe not to have it that way. It has to be that way so I can keep going right. Don't sit tonight. Don't stand or walk with the scornful. You will become unstable. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 21 says, "My son, fear thou the Lord, and meddle not with them that are given to change." Unstable folks tonight are given to change and to quick change. Fear thou the Lord, and meddle not. Do not be involved. Do not be close to those tonight who are the scornful and the scoffers. Walk and stand and sit with those who are of godly character, and they will help you continue right. Point number three, stable Christians are consistent in spiritual disciplines. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. How many of us here tonight meditate scriptures day and night? How many of you are happy to do that? How many of you is that your delight to do that? I mean, aren't we happy if we are able to read our Bible just one time a day, right? That's doing pretty good, isn't it? Seems like this man's life is saturated by the Word of God. Day and night. So tonight, if you would have to give a public report, or if I would have to give a public report of the past year of my Bible reading, what would that look like? And of my meditations, what would yours look like? And what would mine look like? Would you be ashamed? I mean, how many days can you go without picking up your Bible? Is that possible for you to go 1, 2, 3, 4 days without picking up the Word of God? Or maybe you do it because you know you should, and you just read it over the tops of the words. I'm guilty of doing that. And I'm here to confess to you tonight, as I thought about that, there was probably a number of days this past year where my Bible laid on my desk unopened. And I can give you excuses for that, but they're not worthy of our time. And so I confess that to you and to God, because if I want to remain and continue stable tonight, this is one thing that must be happening in my life day by day, year by year. Not because I have to, but because I delight to do so, because I recognize the good that it does for me. And sometimes tonight we can get the wrong thought patterns about what it's like to be a Christian. And we can think of all the negative things tonight. But surely somebody who has been saved from their sin and has been delivered from the punishment of their sin and has been delivered from wickedness, surely we should delight in spending time with the word that our Father has given to us. This word is life. It will speak to us. It will help us. The Christian life is not just a chore. But as we begin to grasp what it's doing for us and what it's helping us to do, we become grateful and we become thankful. And if we want any relationship to flourish, we must spend time. And if I don't spend time with my wife for a couple of days, our relationship is not going to be very good. And how can I expect a relationship with God to grow and to prosper if I'm not willing to actually, because I want to spend time with him and have him speak to me through his word, how's that going to ever work out in my life? Inconsistency with the word will make a lot of things begin to suffer in your life. And so we need to be disciplined to read it, to be in it. We also need to delight to do it. It ought to be a
a joy for us to sit down and to do this. I find time to do a lot of things that I enjoy doing, but this should be number one priority, that as a Christian, I enjoy doing this. I enjoy spending time in the Word of God. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He meditates. Perhaps that's the key. He's just not grinding along. Got to read my two chapters. But he's stopping and he's thinking about what the words are saying. These words have meaning. We need to search them out. We need to find it. There's life here. This isn't just like reading another book, but this will feed your soul. But it's going to take work. It's going to take effort for us to make it happen. He's praying. He's seeking to apply it. Am I willing tonight to forego other good things so I can spend time every day in his word and meditate in it and pray over it and ask God to make it alive to me? Show me how I shall apply it. How shall I live this? Is there a promise here for me that you want me to see? Show it to me. Inspire me. God answers prayers like that. He will faithfully do that for you as you faithfully spend time in his word. Number four, stable Christians can handle the trials of life. In verse 3, his leaf also shall not wither. This tree can experience and can weather the hard times. And the dry times and the trials. In Jeremiah chapter 17, in verse 7 and 8, Jeremiah says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." This is a beautiful picture of a stable Christian who is facing even tough circumstances in his life, but his roots are deep in the Word of God. These things are not shaking him. He's firm in his resolve to be faithful to God. And the fruit continues to grow in his life. And I've been close to people who have experienced some of the hardest things I've ever known. But even in those times, they have, because of their faith in God. Their testimony and their fruit that grew out of those hard experiences was just incredible. And so tonight, plant yourself deep by the river of water, which is the Word of God. And you too can weather the tough times that will come to you. They will come. There's a fire that the apostles talk about that will come to try you. The winds and the rains can beat upon this house, but it will not fall because it's built upon the rock. It's not going down. Its foundation is sure. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 3 says that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Paul is telling us tonight that hard times will come to you tonight if you're a Christian. And he's telling us to expect them. They will come. Prepare for them. Prepare for them how? By putting your roots deep down into God's word and abiding there and staying there. Only then will you be able to weather the storms. Psalms 55 verse 22 says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved."
These are precious promises that God gives to us. God will not allow you to be moved tonight if you're deep in Him. You will stand sure. Psalms 112, verse 6 says, "Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance." These are promises that our Heavenly Father gives to us tonight. Plant yourself, dear ones, by this river. Plant your roots deep into this river, the river of God's Word, and you too will be able to stand the test of time that will come to try you, to see what I'm really made out of. Am I really who I say I am? Stay close to God. Stay close to His Word. Number 5, stable Christians make it to heaven. I don't find that in this passage necessarily. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. The Lord knows the way that we're on tonight. But a true Christian who perseveres in his faith, who perseveres in the disciplines of what it means to be a Christian, one who will, well, Jesus says, it's the one who endures to the end who will be saved. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus tells us that no man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Tonight, brothers and sisters, don't look back to Egypt. If you got your hand on the plow, keep your eye looking forward. Keep your eye looking forward. To where? Well, to your destination. Where do you want to end up? Where do I want to end up? I want to end up where God is. That's where I want to end up, and I'm sure you do too. Well, then keep your eye on that goal and do whatever it takes in your life to make sure that you get there. Hebrews 10, verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. All the way to the end, there's a race. We're running tonight. It's a marathon. Day after day, week after week, year after year, for however long it may be. One more year, we don't know. We don't know when our end date is. It may be a while yet. Set your sights to run well until the end. People that run those foot races, it's the mind telling them to put the one foot in front of the other foot. Like just one step at a time, just keep going, keep going. And as they see the end, they can keep going. It's getting closer. And sometimes we just need to do that. As Christians, we just need to tell ourselves, today, it's hard today, but I'm going to do this today, one step at a time. God is always faithful in doing His part. He always is faithful. The question is always coming back to me. Will I be faithful? God will always do His part. You and I have a part that we must do, or we will not end up where we want to be. And so, tonight the song we sing sometimes, I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Is that your testimony? I hope it is. That's my testimony. I want to keep going. I want to keep going. I want to run well. So we can be like the Apostle Paul. At the end of his life, he said, what? I have fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. All the way to the end. Paul made it. Faithful to the end. I really want to look back on my life and have the testimony of Paul, that I have fought the good fight. and I have finished the course. And so tonight, if I want that testimony, if you want that testimony, there's work for us to do. Take courage tonight to keep going. Don't give up. Don't go back. Don't turn around. No one's joining me, still I will follow. Just keep on going. Tonight, may God give you strength to do that. He will. May you be inspired to keep pressing on the upward way. Thank you tonight for your attention. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for coming. May God give you strength. Tonight, good night of rest. Pray for tomorrow. That the Lord would continue to work his way. And he would meet the needs of our hearts here. We know that he will, because that's who he is. Thank him for it. We'll stand for closing prayer.